Good morning. It's Betsy McCoy. Welcome to Between the Lines with Betsy McCoy here at WVOX. And it's Falsehood Friday. We're going to be talking about the fibs and flimflams and pivots that our politicians use to bamboozle us. And we're going to talk about Hillary Clinton. Is she telling the truth about the Obama administration's viewpoint toward Israel? Speaking of the truth, is Mayor Bloomberg telling the truth, or is it the head of the Regents, Merrill Tisch? They've butted heads recently on teacher grades. We're going to talk about the British ethical viewpoint. Is it right that the Brits are blaming the use of live circus animals, but at the same time talking about making it permissible for mothers to kill their newborns if they don't want to have a baby? Who's telling the truth about gay marriage? Chris Christie or President Obama? And of course, on the biggest issue in the headlines this month, all month long, who's telling the truth about contraceptives in the Catholic Church? I don't think it's Chuck Schumer. We've got a whopper that he told on the Senate floor earlier this week. And finally, speaking of coverage and what's covered, a new hotel has opened up in New York called OUT Out. The first gay hotel, as far as I know, and they're going to be covering a lot in the price they charge for a room. Listen, and you'll hear exactly what's covered. But let's start with Hillary Clinton, because she was presented with a very pointed question, something politicians do not like. And she was asked by a Tunisian student, what viewpoint Democrats and Republicans have on Israel. The students specifically asked, why do Democrats and Republicans express such strong support for Israel? Now, the Secretary of State, Mrs. Clinton, could have told the truth. She could have said that Israel is the United States' strongest ally. Believe it or not, she ducked the question. She told the audience to disregard what Americans on the campaign trail are saying, disregard the fact that Gingrich and Santorum and Romney and everybody but Ron Paul, that they're all pledging undying support for Israel. No, she said, disregard those expressions of allegiance and commitment. Then she said, well, President Obama will be reelected. That was like a shot across the bow for Israel. And then she went on to say, if you students come to the United States, you'll see mosques everywhere. You'll see Muslim Americans everywhere. She didn't mention you'll see Jews. In fact, all she said was, don't pay attention to that American campaign season rhetoric about Israel. Well, a group of senators, including Senator John McCain, recently went to Israel, and they reported back the mounting anger and fear in Israel about the changing nature of the American commitment to Israel. It is obviously wavering, and I think that's something many of us are concerned about. So Mrs. Clinton seemed to be dodging the truth rather than providing the truth. Really typical for a politician. On the other hand, I'd like to give some kudos to Mayor Bloomberg, not always my favorite figure, but this week he did the right thing. He spoke out clearly, no hemming or hawing, no equivocating. He said parents have the right to see every bit of information possible about their child's teacher. Amen. Critics have questioned the validity of some of those rankings, and they're probably not perfect. I have to tell you, as someone who's worked hard for many years to expose infection rates in hospitals, I know that for years, the hospital succeeded in avoiding that kind of disclosure by saying the rankings will never be perfect. Well, maybe so. Maybe it's not perfectly fair to hospitals, but how about fairness to patients? So finally, we've gotten 27 states to pass disclosure laws now so that hospitals have to unveil their hospital infection rates. If you have to go into the hospital, you have every right to know which hospital in your neighborhood has the lowest infection rate, or the highest for that matter. And the same is true with parents. They have a right to know which teachers are doing a good job, and maybe the grades aren't perfect, but on the other hand, Nothing is worse than being in the dark about whether your child is getting a good education. On the other side of this coin, however, is Meryl Tisch, believe it or not, head of the Board of Regents. Chairman is her title. And she says she's going to support state legislation to hide the teacher scores. Get this for magnanimity, being magnanimous. She says, well, it's perfectly fair to disclose the scores. Just don't attach the teacher's name to it. Whoa. How's that for a whopper, typical of a politician? Okay. In the same realm, a new report from England in the papers this week. It's interesting to see what Europeans consider ethical. The British government is banning the use of wild animals in circuses. The new regulations will be ready by summer. This was spurred by a video that went viral showing a circus employee kicking an elephant. That's a terrible thing. I hate cruelty to animals, and as a Republican, I'm particularly offended. But here's the other side of this British ethical coin. Oxford, England. Mothers should be allowed to kill newborns they don't want, says a medical ethics team at Oxford University. And this explosive proposal, which was printed in, let's see what this journal was called, the Journal of Medical Ethics, it calls newborns potential persons. Potential persons. Not real people. It says in the article, they have no moral right to life. How's that for a slippery slope? Better to be an elephant. We've got Marguerite on the line. What's on your mind, Marguerite?
Oh, good morning, Betsy McCoy. It is an honor indeed to get your attention. I'm calling about the first topic that you brought out, and that is the parental connection with the child school teaching and what they're being taught. So very briefly, I'm going to give you a little rundown on what my father did to us children, when we were all our lives, in fact. When we would come home, he would ask us, what did you learn today? And my brothers and I would say, well, I got an 80, I got a 79, I got a whatever I got. And my father would say to us, no, 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 I did not ask you that. I asked you what you learned today. And he would wait for an answer from us. If more parents would do it, they would get the insight they need into what the teachers, effect the teachers are having on their children.
Marguerite, I so agree with you. And I remember when I was a child, my dad took a real interest in my education. He didn't always like what he heard, but he would sit at the table at night and sharpen my pencil while I did my math homework and show that expression of interest. The trouble is, even the most interested parents sometimes can't get enough information. And it seems as if these grades are at least a somewhat, maybe flawed, but somewhat meritorious attempt to get teachers accountable.
Well, my criticism of that grading system is that it is arbitrary and it does not reflect what the child learned. The child must be able and the teacher must know that the child is going to be questioned on what was put into its head.
Right. Let me ask you something, though. The way this system works, it's not just one test grade. They actually look at how the child scored on tests before coming into that teacher's classroom and how much incremental knowledge the child gained.
Yes, that is true. But I feel that the curricula, I should say, are not well known to the parents. The parents don't really know what the children are being taught. And I have long held this argument that all taxpaying people in a municipality should be apprised of the daily work that's presented to the children. They should have syllabus given to them so that they know exactly every week of every year.
You know, Marguerite, I really agree with you on that. Thanks for calling. And I remember when I was young, as I said, my dad took a real interest and he would sit down and read the textbooks I brought home. Sometimes he was really angry at the things we were being taught. But nevertheless, it was good for him it was good for him to take that kind of look. One more political flim-flam, and then we're going to take a break.
Well, Governor that's why Christie, you turned out so good.
Thank you. Thank you, Marguerite. You're so nice to call. One more. Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey is vetoing legislation to allow same-sex couples to receive marriage licenses in New Jersey. And he was challenged about his decision on MSNBC, and he said that unlike President Obama, he was going to speak out bluntly on it. Now, the president has said he opposes gay marriage, but he has also said, hold on, he's going to flip-flop on it. Is that a politician for you? We'll be back after the break to discuss more falsehoods, flim-flams, pivots, and fibs from our political class. This is Betsy McCoy on Between the Lines WVOX. Welcome back to Between the Lines with Betsy McCoy. It's Falsehood Friday, and we're talking about the fibs and flim-flams and pivots that politicians use to pull the wool over our eyes, including Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who recently told a group of Middle East students to disregard the presidential candidate's pledges of loyalty to Israel. She says that's just campaign rhetoric. Don't worry, President Obama is going to be reelected. Ooh, that sent shivers through the spines of those in Israel. We talked a bit about Mayor Bloomberg, who's certainly showing the upper hand and telling the truth on grades for parents, grades for teachers, excuse me, parents deserve them. Mayor Tish, unfortunately, from the Board of Regents, has decided it's better to keep the teachers' names off those grades. So what are you going to give the parents? A long list of numbers that mean nothing? That's exactly what she seems to be suggesting. But speaking of politicians who are dodging the truth, or worse yet, just plain misleading us, New York's own senior senator, Chuck Schumer, seems to win the prize this week. This is the falsehood of the week. Chuck Schumer on the floor of the U.S. Senate stating that if President Obama offers conciliation and exemptions to Catholics and people of other persuasions, by the way, whose conscience would be violated by offering health plans that include sterilization, morning after pills, as well as contraception. Chuck Schumer said, no, people shouldn't have that right, because if that happens, quote, for millions of women whose boss may have a religious objection, that would amount to a contraception ban. That's Chuck Schumer for you. Let's get it really clear. Under the Obama health law, every plan will include essential benefits. And that means when you go to your OBGYN, your visit will be covered. No problem. You can get a prescription for any kind of contraception that you and your doctor agree is important. And then you can use your two legs to walk into Duane Reade or Rite Aid or Walgreens or wherever you choose to go and pay for it. There is no access problem at all. Pay for it along with your mouthwash and your toothpaste and your hair dryer. Contraception costs per month about the same as a dinner for two at the Cheesecake Factory. So if it's important to you, you have no problem with access. That's unfortunately the issue that the pro-Obama health plan people are raising, and it's a real flim-flam to get women on board. And how misleading this is. It's really quite shocking. Here's the New York Times this morning, the lead editorial. Three lies in one editorial. Lie number one. The proposed amendment offered in the House of Representatives to allow employers to exercise their own conscience, their own religious scruples, and choose to offer a health plan that does not include contraception, abortion pills, and sterilization. The New York Times said, quote, that would deny women access to essential health services. Untrue. Lie number two. I'm turning the page. Most Americans support free access to contraception. Here's that word free. That is a huckster's word, a demagogue's word. There is no tooth fairy, and there is nothing that's free. And the fact is, contraception, as well as preventive services like mammograms and colonoscopies, are not free under the president's health plan. You are forced to pay for them up front in your premium. Then if you decide to collect those services, you won't have a copay or a deductible at that time. But it's because you've already prepaid. And being forced to prepay for a colonoscopy feels almost as bad as getting one. After all, think about it this way. If you go into the restaurant and you pay $25 for the all-you-can-eat buffet, is the dessert free? Obviously not. But the demagogue in chief, President Obama, has crisscrossed the nation, promising everyone that in the health law, they will have free preventive services. And unfortunately, the New York Times, which publishes all the news that's fit to print, but not necessarily true, has gone along with the president today, bamboozling us into thinking that contraception is free. Now, Chicago's Bishop George gave a speech last weekend. I shouldn't call it a speech. Oh, come on. I'm just not Catholic. I should call it what it is. It was a sermon, right? He gave a sermon that was so important. It doesn't matter what your faith is. This sermon was so important that I just wanted to tell you a bit about it. He reminded us that freedom of worship was guaranteed in the Constitution of the Soviet Union. You could go to a church or synagogue if you could find one. But the church or synagogues could do nothing but conduct services. They couldn't have schools or healthcare institutions, hospitals, charities, orphanages. You know, we fought a long, cold war, 30 years, to defeat that Soviet vision of religion, that narrow, intolerant, hateful vision of religion. Yet that's exactly what the Obama administration is trying to impose. Catholics can worship, but they can't exercise their conscience in offering health plans that are consistent with their own beliefs. During the church service, the Chicago bishop held up a long list of Catholic institutions in the Chicago area that serve people of all faiths, schools, orphanages, hospitals. And he said, unless the Obama administration relents, this list will be empty at the end of 2 years. There won't be anything on this piece of paper anymore because the fines that those institutions will have to pay in lieu of offering health coverage that meets the Obama administration's Washington knows best definition will put them out of business. Remember that the Soviet Union attack on religion was brought to an end by a Polish church and by John Paul II, along with Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. They believed, I should say, they know, that religion and freedom go hand in hand. We'll be back after the break. It's Betsy McCoy, Between the Lines, WVOX. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about the first gay hotel in New York and what it covers. We'll be right back.
national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Rare February tornadoes being followed by more of the same here in March. It looks like another one struck in the south. This time in northern Alabama, in Madison County, north of Huntsville.
Damage already reported to houses and a high school, according to the National Weather Service and trained weather spotters, as well as law enforcement officials.
Fox News meteorologist Janice Dean, no indication yet if there were any injuries. A high-risk warning for severe weather, including the possibility of tornadoes, concentrated now on an area from Louisville, Kentucky to Nashville, Tennessee. This is the last day you can fly Continental.
The merger, now 2 years in the making, will ground the Continental name. United and Continental merged in 2010, unnoticed by most passengers, but tomorrow the two airlines combine passenger reservation data, and tickets will be issued only by United.
Fox News Radio's Jared Halpert in Washington. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Dry cleaning. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I have a real thing about this, and I've been telling you for years that when it comes to custom quality dry cleaning, you know, where you get your clothes back in perfect shape without that awful chemical cleaning smell, there's only really one dry cleaner that I know of in all of Westchester you can always count on. Scott Solomon Solo Clean. It's on the Post Road in Mamaroneck, New York. So if you want your valuable clothes returned in like new, pristine condition, without that awful commercial cleaning smell, please try Solo Clean. The cost for their professional custom handling is really, incidentally, really the same you're probably paying right now. Solo Clean in Mamaroneck, New York on the Post Road. They're the best dry cleaner in Westchester. I'll go up against anybody on that claim.
He can be assertive.
We're coming up on the end of the school year, Sarah. And what are you most concerned about, and how did your students do at getting into colleges?
He can be a little bit funny.
That was fun talking to college kids, especially as politically incorrect as I can be.
I'm not even going to respond to that.
And he can also be just downright silly.
You know, he keeps like Johnny Pump in his
his stop.
Office.
Oh, stop.
Good Morning Westchester with Bob Marone. 6 a.m. weekdays. The latest Westchester news, weather, and traffic on 1460 WVOX and WVOX.com, the number one community station.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. We start off with a little bit of high cloud cover. Generally, it's going to turn out to be a partly sunny day today with increasing clouds again by later this afternoon and tonight. Our high temperatures will reach the middle 40s, and there is a chance of some rain showers moving in by later today and tonight, but should be on the light side. On Saturday, it'll be cloudy with showers in the morning, then becoming partly sunny in the afternoon, so the chance of an afternoon shower, but temperatures tomorrow quite warm, in the upper 50s, close to 60 degrees with enough sun. At night, it'll be mostly clear with overnight low temperatures in the middle 30s. Then on Sunday, look for a partly sunny day. Your highs will reach the middle to upper 40s, turns colder on Sunday night, back down into the upper 20s. Clouds and sunshine on Monday, with a chance of a sprinkle or a shower in the afternoon. High temperatures will reach the lower 40s. At night, mostly clear, and then Tuesday, sunshine, only 35 to 40. By the middle portion of next week, things warm up back into the 50s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
The voice of Westchester, WVOX.
Welcome back. It's Betsy McCoy with Between the Lines. We were talking about the falsehoods, flim-flams, pivots, and fibs that politicians use to pull the wool over our eyes. And of course, the prize this week went to our senior senator in New York, Chuck Schumer, who on the floor of the United States Senate earlier this week announced that if employers of the Catholic faith or others who have religious scruples about including contraception, abortion pills, and sterilization in the health plans they offer their workers, if that were allowed, if the Obama administration showed that kind of respect for the First Amendment and for our religious scruples, well, that would amount to, quote, a contraception ban. So the real issue here is access. Under those health plans, women will still be able to go to the OBGYN. The entire cost of that visit will be paid for by their health plan. They can get the prescription they need. And all they'll have to do is walk one foot in front of the other into a drugstore and buy that contraception. And I figured for most types of contraception, it amounts to about the price of dinner for two at the Cheesecake Factory, as long as you don't get that really big wedge of fudge cake for dessert. Well, speaking of access, and that's the reason I bring this up, a new hotel opened in New York this week. And it's requested a lot of PR and fanfare, so let's go. It's called OUT Out, and it's the first gay hotel, or it claims to be the first. It opened this week in Hell's Kitchen section of Manhattan. The place was solidly booked the first night, and it also has a 14,000-square-foot nightclub on the premises called XL. The article didn't say what XL meant, but maybe extra long. I don't know. But here's why I mentioned all of this. The press for the hotel made a point of saying that in every goodie basket, you know, those little baskets you find on the counter in the bathroom, they usually have shampoo, soap, those little wipes for your shoes, and if you're lucky, some toothpaste. Well, the goodie baskets in this hotel will also include condoms and lubricants. And I thought to myself, that's kind of interesting. So if you go to a regular hotel that isn't advertised like this one is catering to a particular audience, and the basket doesn't include condoms and other such things, does it mean you've been denied access to those? Well, no, of course not. You can go out and buy them or bring them with you, plan ahead. So it's really not a question of access. And I don't think the Cardinal's going to be booking a room at that hotel. But the fact is that people have access to products, whether they're included in the one-size-fits-all price for your hotel room or the one-size-fits-all price for your health plan. The government isn't telling you you have to go to the hotel, but unfortunately, the government is telling all of us we have to buy this health plan. So at least give us the elbow room to buy a plan that's consistent with our religious scruples. So that's the news on OUT, the new gay hotel in New York. Now, there's a lot going on in the world of canine affection. New York's favorite dogs. Now, here is one area where there is no such thing as truth or fiction, fact or fallacy. Whether you think a dog is the cutest, it's just in your own heart. I happen to love my little Chester. He's a Pekingese. He's the cutest thing you've ever seen, just a little ball of black fur with eyes that you can occasionally see if you give him a trim. But according to the American Kennel Club, here are the favorite dogs in New York. Number one, the Yorkshire Terrier. Number two, the Labrador Retriever. Three, the French Bulldog. Four, the German Shepherd. Five, the regular Bulldog. Six, the Poodle. Seven, the Shih Tzu. I love Shih Tzus. Number eight, the Golden Retriever. Nine, the Rottweiler. And number 10, the Havanese. What's your favorite dog? Give us a call, 914-636-0110. Now, big dogs are more popular outside of New York than inside of New York. Nationwide, the Labrador is the most popular dog, with number two, the German Shepherd, right behind. But according to Thomas Bradley of the Westminster Kennel Dog Show, I don't know whether you've ever been there. It's the best way to spend Valentine's Day. The Labs and the Golden Retrievers are the dogs that love to be with people. That's interesting. Mr. Bradley said some dogs will let you into their world, but they don't care much about being in your world, he said. But Labs and Golden Retrievers just want to love 24/7. That's good to know if you're out looking for a dog, especially if you have a family. I'm just thinking about my little Chester. He sleeps in my bed at night, right up on my pillow. It's just, there's nothing better than doggy love. But here's something that was certainly fits into the flim-flam category. Remember the once noble Nobel Prize? Well, it's kind of become a joke, at least the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm not talking about the Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology. That's still one of the most important things in the world. But this Nobel Peace Prize, once noble, has become sullied with bad taste and worse, with kind of wacky left-wing politics. So among this year's nominees is an Army private currently in the brig, that's military language for prison, charged with revealing top secret military files and State Department cables. How low can the Peace Committee go? I mean, can you imagine? Well, take a look at some of the recent winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. The terrorist Yasser Arafat. The bungling Jimmy Carter. I say bungling because I think the only peace he kept was in the gas lines. Remember the gas lines under Jimmy Carter? How about the darling of the left, Barack Obama, our current president, who was fitted for his Nobel wreath almost as soon as he occupied the Oval Office? Not even time for him to do anything for peace. Now, this Army private hasn't been convicted yet, but he's charged with committing the biggest leak of intelligence files in American history. So, does he deserve a Nobel Peace Prize nomination? Seems to me as if he deserves a spanking or much worse. As I said before, we have to distinguish between this and other types of Nobel Prizes because the Nobel Prize in Medicine and Physiology is one of the most important in the world. And by the way, the United States has won more Nobel Prizes in Medicine and Physiology than the entire rest of the world combined. That's really important to people who are currently facing what we call an incurable illness. This is the nation of hope. This is where the cures are developed. And that's something that's very threatened under this new Obama health law. Well, back to the fibs and flimflams and falsehoods and misleading statements of our noble politicians on both sides of the aisle. Will the president ever tell the truth about gasoline prices? As a matter of record, his Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, said before he was installed in that job that he believed the United States should push up gas prices to European levels, which are about twice what we pay, in order to discourage consumption. Now, the president's playing more of a weasel word game than that. When he meets with environmentalists, he's focused on all the kinds of clean energy, green energy, not fossil fuels. But in recent weeks, he's been claiming that he is friendlier to fossil fuel energy. In fact, here is his quote. Our domestic oil production is at an 8-year high. Well, that is another fib of the week. It's true technically, but that's because of the all the oil coming out of North Dakota developed on private lands. Oil production on federal lands is way down, steeply down, because of this president. He's blocking development in Alaska. He's curbing development in the Gulf of Mexico and other offshore drilling. And that's why more than any previous president, he is to blame for our current $4.50 a gallon gas prices. Because more than any previous president, he has limited supply. We will be back with lots more to talk about after the break. This is Betsy McCoy on Between the Lines. Give us a call, 914-636-0110, and tell us your favorite dog or the biggest whopper you've heard this week out of the mouths of a politician. And we'll be back talking about our zeal for freedom and what we can do to protect it. Welcome back. It's Betsy McCoy with Between the Lines. It's Falsehood Friday, and we're talking about the fibs and flimflams and pivots that politicians use to pull the wool over our eyes and to mislead us in every way possible. There's so many to choose from this week. It's kind of hard to focus on a few, but we did narrow it down to Chuck Schumer winning the National Falsehood of the of the Week award for misleading American women into thinking that if their health plan doesn't cover contraception, it's been banned. In fact, it just means they can walk into the drugstore and pay for it themselves. And of course, Hillary Clinton's major duck on the issue of, does America support Israel, rather than seize the opportunity to express our commitment to that great nation. She ducked it and said to the Middle East students to whom she was talking, well, disregard that kind of political rhetoric. It's an election year. Too bad for Hillary Clinton. But now we've got some others to talk about. One is the healthcare myths. There was a big article in the New York Times this week about health insurance exchanges. You may not have heard about a health insurance exchange. Certainly you've never shopped on one unless you live in Massachusetts or Utah. But you will be shopping in one in 2014 if the new health law goes into effect and your employer drops your coverage. McKinsey and Company management consultants have estimated that as many as half of employers will stop covering their workers because the new regulations are so costly that they will find it less expensive to pay a penalty to the government and send their workers and families off to these new state health insurance exchanges to buy policies. Well, it's kind of interesting to see how the politicians are talking about these health insurance exchanges. They say they're going to increase choice. They say that you'll have a choice between the bronze, the silver, the gold, and the platinum plan. But don't get too excited. This is not like going to Tiffany's. There are no precious metals involved here. The fact is, all these plans are identical except for the copays and deductibles. They all have the same essential benefits. I heard one politician say, well, it'll be like going to the supermarket. Well, going to the supermarket, if your supermarket sells only cereal, because there's only one item for sale. In fact, it's more like going to the DMV and standing in line, or getting on one of those toll-free government lines, or going on a website and choosing is the wrong word, signing up for one of these four plans. So that's the truth, as opposed to the weasel words about the health insurance exchanges. Of course, the politicians are telling us that we'll have more quality and choice, that insurance companies will have to compete only on quality and choice because all the designs will be the same. Very interesting. I heard the president say that not one, but at two State of the Union messages. Don't worry, once all the health plans are identical, the insurance companies will have to compete only on quality and cost, right? Imagine them going out to Detroit and telling the big three automakers, no more hatchbacks, no more convertibles. Americans aren't smart enough to choose the kind of car they want. We want you to make only four-door sedans and compete on quality and cost. Maybe that's what's next. If you think that this new Obama health law is going to be good for you, I don't think so, but if you'd like to express your disagreement, give us a call at 914-636-0110. Standing up for the truth. We'd like to compliment Mayor Bloomberg. I don't always agree with the mayor, but he really came out on top this week supporting parents in their need to know what their child's teacher is doing. Bravo to Mayor Bloomberg, and I think we'll give a demerit or two to Meryl Titch, a lovely lady who happens to be head of the Board of Regents in New York State, but she's saying parents shouldn't be able to get the scores that their children's teachers earn. How pathetic. I've worked hard over the years to make sure that hospitals are rated based on their infection rates. So if you have to go into the hospital, you can find out which hospital in your own area has a high infection rate and stay away. We've got Barbara on the line. What's on your mind, Barbara?
Yes, hello. I was just hearing you, Betsy, talk about healthcare and the choices of the different plans. And I'm vacationing down here in Florida, and I just heard the ad yesterday on the radio with the ladies talking about how excited they are about the changes to Medicare, that they will get all kinds of new benefits with the new plan, and how exciting and wonderful that is.
It was probably a government paid for advertisement. It's amazing how much money the federal government is spending sending out mailers to seniors with absolute lies about Medicare, like the $575 billion in cuts to Medicare will mean saving the program for the future. No, the money is taken out of Medicare and shifted over to another program, Medicaid. It's like robbing grandma to spread the wealth.
Well, Betsy, this doesn't sound good to me. I just turned 65. I'm one of the 77 million baby boomers beginning to turn 65.
I know how it feels.
Pardon me?
I know how it feels. I'm 62.
Yes, yes. So I'm saying I look at the 36 million seniors who are already over the age of 65, and then I see us coming on. And I remember when I went to school, and you would too, they built, when I was a child, they were building elementary schools and high schools and colleges. They couldn't build them fast enough because of the increase in the baby boomers. And now I know that there are hospitals that are going to have to close because of the mandates of the new health care law.
You are so right, Barbara.
For hospitals and doctors.
You are so well informed on that, and I'm glad you called about it. In fact, Richard Foster, the chief actuary of Medicare, he works for the president, bravely and bluntly testified to Congress that the Medicare cuts are so severe that 15% of hospitals will be forced to operate in the red, and others will be forced to operate in an environment of real medical scarcity. What does that mean? It means fewer nurses on the floor, longer waits for diagnostic equipment tests like MRIs, and an overall lower standard of care. And by the way, it's going to affect not just Medicare recipients, but patients of all ages who are treated in those hospitals.
See, that's another thing that people don't understand, and because it's not being talked about at all, that this is not just going to affect us old geezers, that it's going to affect their children and their grandchildren.
That's right. The Medicare cuts are so severe, and in addition to the across-the-board cuts, they also have what they call an efficiency program, but don't be misled by that word. It's a good thing we're talking about Falsehood Friday here, because this word efficiency is intended to mislead. What they're really doing is penalizing the hospitals that spend the most per Medicare beneficiary. So the hospitals that spend the most per elderly patient get penalized financially, and the hospitals that spend less per patient get less per older patient get a reward. But never mind what happens to the patient. They only look at the spending per patient. So there was an article in the Archives of Internal Medicine demonstrating that hospitals that spend less per older patient have higher death rates. The seniors who go into those hospitals with common ailments like a hip fracture or a stroke or congestive heart failure are more likely to die at the low-spending hospitals than at the high-spending hospitals. At the hospitals that spend more per patient, seniors have a much better shot at actually recovering, going home, and resuming their active lives. Isn't that what healthcare is about?
You would think so. And yet, I think seniors are often made to feel guilty that, listen, senior, you don't want to hang around a long time at the end of your life and cost us a lot of money.
Well, Golda Meir had the right idea. She said, life is a process of learning to live with guilt complexes, and we shouldn't feel guilty about getting healthcare when we get old.
Mm-hmm. And also, look at what we have in this country. We have seniors who are enjoying their retired years so much and are beneficial in adding to their families and to society, as well as living the life that God gave them to live. And so to make them feel guilty, about that they are using resources that their children and grandchildren should live. I mean, we're in the United States. We have amazing resources here. We can expand our medical care to cover everyone that needs to be covered. But I don't think this is the way to do it.
I agree so much, Barbara. You are so right about this. And when you look back, those five procedures, cataract surgeries, hip and knee replacements, angioplasties, bypass surgeries, they have virtually transformed the experience of aging. We're going to talk about that again next week. We've covered so much on Falsehood Friday, all the flimflams and fibs that have allowed politicians to pull the wool over our eyes. We always run out of time, but we are not running out of our zeal for freedom. So I hope you'll join me again next week for a wrap-up of the week's news and some personal, very personal reflections on the critical situation of our nation. Because let's face it, and Barbara just said this in her call, our freedom, our values, our way of life are at stake. We've got to reduce the size and power of government and protect the choices that we make as individuals. That is really the key here. So don't be misled by the weasel words when you hear Chuck Schumer say he's the one protecting the choices. We who are fighting for smaller government, more freedom, our First Amendment rights, and our ability to make the right choices for our families without government interference, we're the ones who are really fighting for the future of these United States of America. And that's what it's all about. So we've covered a lot from Israel to the Out Hotel, and we'll be back next week with a lot more. Thank you for joining me. Betsy McCoy, Between the Lines, WVOX.